what's wrong with us. More accurately, what's wrong with you? Why can't we get along? We all live in the same country. We all put our pants on the same way, over our heads. We all wake up every morning, go to bed at night. We all have loved ones. Why are we so different? How can all these people in this country have such opposing views on so many things? Why should I have a gun? Don't take my guns away. I like abortion. I don't like abortion. I don't understand people that are not of the same sexual ideas as I. I like people that have diverse sexual ideas. Why are we opposite on everything? Do we never meet in the middle? Do the two roads never intersect at a busy stoplight or a busy intersection? Are we traveling two separate roads that never go the same direction? What's wrong with us? More importantly, what's wrong with you? Why can't we find a presidential candidate that's in the middle? A little bit left, a little bit right, a little country, a little rock and roll. Why can't we find somebody that doesn't necessarily like rap music, but can tolerate it through various artists? What's wrong with us? Is there something wrong with you? Out of all these people in this country, we can't find one person that can satisfy everybody. Satisfy a little bit of you, satisfy a little bit of me. No one has the talent or the skills to bring people together, to satisfy both sides. Why are we so far left and so far right and so nothing in the middle? What happened to us? Isn't this exactly what Russia wants? Russia, soon to become the Soviet Union once they totally take over Ukraine. Why? Why do we bow and kowtow to dictators, both overseas and in our own country? Why do we elect representatives to Congress that don't do anything, that just stand there with their arms folded and say, I'm not doing anything. I'm not reading anything. I'm not going to let anything happen. Why? What's wrong with us? Or, what's wrong with you? Will there come a point where we all of a sudden have an aha moment? Aha! This is how we can fix things. It's time we all put our pants on over our heads together.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thanks for clicking.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I've been clicked on. Someone clicked on me. I'm just sitting here waiting for somebody to click on me. I consider myself duly clicked. Sometimes I'll be sitting watching TV or something, and all of a sudden I'll get a little little like spark in my body and realized somebody just Googled me. Somebody just Googled me somewhere. I've been Googled and I've been clicked. Sometimes I'll stare out the window and watch a bird fly by, and I'm jealous. Look at that bird, just flying freely through the air, not a care in the world, not stuck to the land or in any particular location, is free to fly anywhere they want, soar through the air in freedom. Then I realize any second a hawk could come along, swoop that little sucker in its mouth and chew it to death. And then I realize that didn't mean anything. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we love freedom, but then when somebody puts a lid on it, we go, okay, we're weird people, or are you the weird one? I'm not sure civilization and humans have actually evolved. I'm surprised that we walk erect. As a matter of fact, if you walk around and you see other people walking, they don't walk erect. They all got back problems. Those Homo sapiens. Those crazy Homo sapiens. I have myself a countdown calendar. I have a colonoscopy scheduled for the middle of December. I call it my pre-Christmas gift. And it's a countdown calendar, and I know exactly how many days it is until someone's going to shove a tube up my ass. It's an event. I figured, well, how can I profit from this? Well, there's two ways. One, I can sell tickets to my colonoscopy, set up like maybe 5 or 7 chairs, charge about $1,000 a piece. You sit in the chair, orchestra seats, and you can watch them knock me out with puff-a-fall and shove a tube up my ass. I think it's worth it. I think it's the same as going to a Trump rally. So I can make money that way. Or they actually have a camera that goes in the tube so they can do what they want inside and look around up my ass and beyond. Up my ass and beyond. Sounds like space exploration. Now a PBS special. Up Ron's ass and beyond. They have a little camera in there and a little camera crew of 6 people. Midgets, obviously. I'm sorry. Little people. I could take that video. I could edit it so my colon looks wonderful. And put that on the internet on YouTube and charge to a pay-per-view kind of thing. To see inside my colon. I mean, I think that would be fascinating. I have spent all of my life trying to keep things out of there, and now I actually have something scheduled for a journey, for a boat trip, a river cruise up my ass. It's amazing. And it's not so much the colonoscopy itself. I've talked about this before. It's not so much that procedure. It's the prep, the day before, the night before, drinking this crap and just running to the bathroom every second and cleaning myself out with tremendous flushings. I don't think I have a toilet in my house that can handle this. There's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out in the laundry. There's going to be a lot of cleansing going on. You don't want to be near me when I'm cleansing. It's not pretty. But I'm also, as I've said before, I'm going to do a mental cleansing as well. I'm also going to clear my mind. I'm going to take the prep solution and pour it in my ears and I think that will clear out my brain. I'm not sure about it, but I'm willing to give it a try as long as I have the prescription. So in about a week, I'm going to walk into a CVS, which is about how frequently I go in there, and I'm going to walk up to the pharmacist and say, can you tell me where I can find the colonoscopy prep stuff that I'm supposed to take home? And the pharmacist will look at me and laugh inside and show me where it is. And I'm going to walk home with this prep stuff and a very long CVS receipt. I wonder if the CVS receipt is going to have a discount on future purchases of the prep stuff. Ron, congratulations on buying the prep stuff. Next time you do prep stuff, it's 50% off. Okay, look, I don't do this every day. I hope I don't do it for a long time after this. The funny thing about the colonoscopy is they knock you out. They give you the puff-a-fall, which is the Michael Jackson thing. They give it, and you're very comfortably knocked out in a very light, comfortable way. And then when you come to, the doctor is there explaining to you what the results of the colonoscopy are. And you still don't have any mind back yet. You're still under the influence of the propofol. So everybody has to call the next day and say, this is embarrassing, but I had the colonoscopy yesterday. The doctor told me what the results are, but to the life of me, I don't remember him telling me that. So could you put him on the phone and have him do it again? Not the colonoscopy, the part that he tells me how it went, please. It's really not that funny. It's kind of pathetic. There are two things that I avoid in my life. One is colonoscopies, although you really should have them. And the other is jury duty, which I really don't need to do. I've gotten out of jury duty every single time. I've used two excuses. Both have worked always. First of all, if I don't want to be there in the courthouse, why are you making me go? I'm only going to get out of it anyway. No attorney is going to say, yeah, let's take Van Damme. He's uncooperative. Let's take him. No, they're always going to say, get that fuck out of my courthouse. That's what they're going to say. And I gladly will leave because I don't want to be there to begin with. I don't know this guy that did something wrong. But why am I being injected into his life? I was just, you know, I'm just living my life. You're plucking me off the street and forcing me to go to a courthouse to deal with somebody else's baggage? I don't think so. Find anybody else. They'll all be willing to do it. I'm the one that won't. So I use two excuses. One, as I say, for decades, I've been a radio talk show host, and my opinions are too severe. And I cannot be swayed because I am so opinionated. That always got me out of there that I was in the media because I was familiar with all different types of cases and I was very, very biased. And it always got me out until one time a judge called me to the bench. I don't know why they call it a bench. I know what a bench looks like. This doesn't look like a bench. The judge calls me up. It was a guy. And he says to me, I want to tell you something, Van Damme. Ooh. He says, you think you're opinionated? I'm very opinionated, too. Everybody in this courtroom is opinionated. That doesn't get you off of jury duty. So I leaned over to the judge and I said, well, then what will? I was out of there really quickly. Almost in contempt of court, but out of there really quickly. The other thing is, because I really don't want to do this, they tell you what the trial is about, what the accusations are, what you would be sitting in on. And I always say, oh, my sister did that. Yeah, that's my sister. Or my sister knows somebody like that, so I'm biased. I can't be impartial. So I'm sorry because my sister did that or my sister knows somebody like that. And if they looked into my history, they'd realize I don't have a sister. I have a brother, but I don't have a sister. So I'd be lying, I'd be in contempt of court, and they'd remove me and put me in jail. So anyway, Jury duty, no. Cameras up the ass, no. Those two things together, oh my God, that would be a nightmare. Ron, you have to go to jury duty, and if we pick you as a juror, we're going to have to put a camera up your ass. Oh my God, that's like a double whammy. That's two whammies in one. Not for me, thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation. I don't really want to be here. Don't force me to do something I don't want to do. It doesn't benefit you in the least. I don't enjoy it. You don't. It's a lose-lose situation. Don't we go through life trying to find win-win situations? Why do you put me in lose-lose situations? Can't win. Another lose-lose situation is playing Keno. Have you ever done that? Oh my God, every once in a while I do it, and I don't know why. I get this little shimmer of hope in my eyes. My eyes glimmer. I get this feeling of hope and feelings of fantasy. It's the same feeling I get while waiting for the 2020 election, just hoping this asshole's out of the White House. It's the same feeling with Keno. There's a little glimmer of hope. So I pick five numbers always, and I give it to the person there at the Keno machine, and they always say to me, good luck. And I feel like saying, are you really wishing me good luck? You're being sarcastic. Because there's two ways to take that. All right, okay, hey, good luck. Or they could be saying, oh, okay, thank you. Good luck with that. good luck. I don't know how to take it. That's why, I don't know how to take it. All right, we have a guest on the program. When I opened the show today, I was alluding to the fact that we are so split politically that it's sad, it's uncomfortable, it's dismal. We actually have an author with us. Awful. An author with us. Oh, why can't I say that word today? L.K. Samuels is going to join us. He's written a book about this, about how politically opposed we are, how politically evil we have become, split. Well, this author says, this is nothing new. And I say to him, oh, really? Then let's have an interview, which we will do right after this short little commercial break, because someone's got to pay for this, obviously. It's not you.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
This is L.K. Samuels. He's a very prolific guy here. He's is an author and a man. He's just an amazing guy. He has written Killing History, The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. When did you start writing this one?
Oh, this was about 6 years ago, and I was starting on another book. Well, almost done with another book, and this is going to be just a small little chapter.
Yeah, I would assume.
And it took over, and life of its own.
It's amazing. I think this is all your fault, as a matter of fact. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway. My God, you know, the political spectrum left to right, that has definitely widened since you started writing, I assume.
Yes, I've had to rework a couple of chapters, actually take them and just practically throw them away and rework them.
Yeah,
because of especially around 2016. I mean, everything just started going crazy.
Yeah. What was the original reason that you started writing Killing History?
Well, you know, I've always been sort of a historian, you know, back even when I was in high school. I mean, I just loved history books. But because I began seeing all this thing, I mean, people were starting to call people, you know, fascists or communists. Yes. And it seemed like it had no basis in fact. And I said, well, what is the basis in fact? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I've written about this actually when I was in college. I was a journalist, you know, worked for the campus. I was editor of the campus paper for a while. But anyway, I want to know. So I just started buying a lot of history books. And I got like 1,500 footnotes or more.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I found a lot of distortion. I found some historical sabotage. I mean, actual things from books I'm reading that says it's different on the internet.
Yeah, well, that
they'll quote an author, and they won't quote him correctly. In fact, it'll be the exact opposite of what he said.
Yeah, and the first thing you see on the internet, the first thing you click on, that seems to be fact, right? You know, that's the problem. Anyway,
yeah. Well, these were actually major websites. These were not just some guy out of his garage or basement.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, you know, felt like I had to find out what the hell's going on.
It's interesting the political spectrum. These titles like liberal and socialist and fiscal conservative. I mean, we put these tags on things, and you know, I believe America's kind of split in half. There's the people that follow things and try to understand them. And then there's the sector of people that have absolutely no idea what's going on. And if they hear something, then that's all automatically the truth.
That's it. Yeah. And that's why I bought books just for page numbers.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, they say there's quotes in this book.
Yeah.
I have to buy the book or some way and find out if it's true. And then the page number, the publisher, you know, all of this stuff. I wanted to make it, you know, and that's what took a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. But I find all these things. I mean, what is fascism? And so I go back to Mussolini.
Yes.
And I looked at his doctrine of fascism, and something seemed wrong with it. When you look on the internet, and they say, oh, you know, this is, you know, the bigger state ones.
Mm-hmm.
I find historical sabotage, because when I bought his little 26-page booklet from 1933, it said exactly the opposite on almost every internet page.
Interesting. I mean,
and I used to be a typesetter.
Yes.
I had my little type thing. I know topography.
Oh.
This is, you know, not a reprint. You know, it's cracked lead on paper, and it's old and it's falling apart.
Right.
But there's one there. Of course, it may get people upset if I say this, but there's a quote in there that created the modern political spectrum, and it's a quote that Mussolini said in his booklet, but not in error. But he said, a century of authority, a century of the left. Left is capitalized. A century of fascism.
Mm.
You go online, in most places it says a century of the right.
Huh.
So I'm sitting there, what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, just because he said that doesn't mean I believe that. I mean, I have two charts, chart A and chart B, and one has everybody, you know, on the left has, you know, the communism, fascism, you know, social democracy, and on the other side is liberalism, classical liberalism, individualism. But then I have one that's the exact opposite. It depends which one you want to go by.
Yeah.
So it means almost nothing now to be left or right.
It doesn't. It's all perception. And I mean, do you feel that where we stand now, that there's no way to close Pandora's box, or has the box always been open?
No, it's always been this way. I mean, you go back to the time of Jefferson, and they were some of their campaigns were more brutal than now.
Right.
It's hard to believe.
It is hard.
But saying Jefferson was, you know, this and that, and other candidate was that. I mean, really vicious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The 1800s. So there's been other times. It's not the first time, but you know, they, you know, my, you know, Killing History tries to at least tell you where you belong, in a sense. If you believe this, forget about the labels. If you're, even if you believe in, you know, liberal capitalism, you believe in tolerance, individualism, you know, openness, you know, you're on one side. If you don't believe that, then you're on the other.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to do. All the authoritarians should be grouped together.
What
you know, like the French Revolution. If you sit You know, if you sit on the right, you're authoritarian. If you sit on the left, like the classical liberals did,
right.
You know, Thomas Paine was there. Jefferson even had a hand in the French Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I consider the left. That's my chart A. You know, and anybody authoritarian. But, you know, this old political spectrum says, well, fascism on one extreme and communism on the other.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're both authoritarians.
That's a
wherever
point.
Left or
that's
right, they both belong together.
You're right. You're right. They do. And
what I found out was interesting is that Mussolini had to study him. He was a Marxist for decades. He ran around with Lenin and Trotsky, and you know, in Switzerland. Trotsky called him his best student, and Mussolini actually has a 44 volume of his collected works.
Yeah.
No, 46 volumes. Other one's the 36. He wrote a lot. You know, I mean, he looked like an idiot, but he was well read.
So what do we take away from? Well, there are many things to take away from your book, but what is the primary lesson or observance that people should be walking away with? Is it that nothing has really ever changed? So, you know, stop labeling because it doesn't make any difference anymore.
Stop labeling. You know, Orwell talked about that. Mm-hmm. Orwell said that back in the 40s, said the word fascism is just a pejorative, almost means nothing.
Yeah.
That was in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said something else, and I talk about him a lot. He said, if you want to control the future, you have to control the past.
Okay.
That is, you have to take history and rewrite it.
Oh.
And what I'm seeing is a lot of history has been rewrote. And I'm trying to straighten it. You know, and you know, tell people the real spectrum, at least my opinion, is liberalism on one side,
yes.
And these other isms, these collectivisms, you know, authoritarianism is on the other side. It's as simple as that.
Well,
you put the authoritarians together.
Yeah.
Mao, Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot, they're very close. Even Hitler was a communist for a short while.
Wow.
In 1919. He worked for the German Communist Party in Bavaria, you know, for a month. You know, until he got arrested and interned. You know, and that comes from Thomas Weber, who found the archives of Hitler barracks in Munich.
Yeah.
And he has put out a couple of books about it. And it's very fascinating. But they got archives. He actually ran for an election to work with the Communist Party from his barracks.
Hey. Oh, okay. Well, now
you know,
I don't feel so bad.
Well, you know, he moved around a lot too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I mean, after that, he became a social democrat, and then he started his you know, National Socialist Party. But you know, he's authoritarian. Put him with all the authoritarians.
Yeah, I guess they should sit down and have dinner together. They might as well.
Yeah, I even wrote a little script for a book trailer for that. Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini all getting around, basically saying the same things until they came to what food to have, you know. And you know, of course, you know, Hitler wants Bratwurst, and you know, and Stalin wants something else, and you know, it's a lasagna for Mussolini, and then they try to kill each other.
this is like the Last Supper on steroids, in a way.
Yeah. You know, it's just
weird stuff.
You know, so.
So
anyway, but anyway, if other people want to see some of the shocking revelations that I found, just go to my 3 W's, lksamuels.com, and I have a couple of fact sheets there of the real juicy stuff I found that's just not well known.
All right, well, it's all there. Yeah, it's about time people started getting in tune to what's going on, as opposed to just saying, well, I don't really, it's all crazy, so I don't pay attention. I think what you're saying is pay attention, understand what's really
pay
happening.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are people going to force you to do things, or are they going to let you make choices? I've always been a person that believed in choice.
Right.
It's your life, it's your property, you know, choice. Anybody that doesn't believe in choice, that's the other side.
Well, that's very true. But as long as our choices are pure and respected, that's what I'm going for. I'm very much against the Electoral College because I don't believe that's fair. It defies every vote counts. It doesn't count if you live in a certain state that is red or blue. Your vote doesn't count. It's, you know, to a great extent. I think things should be purer and more. The simpler you are, the better it is.
Well, you know, in government, basically, that's what they do. You know, yeah. the consent of the governed. And yeah. if the governed wants that, then the government, you know, supposedly moves in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, rights come from ourselves. They don't come from government. So,
they're supposed
you know,
to. They're
that's John Lockean.
They're supposed to. It's just everybody's out to cover their ass. And in doing so, things happen. The book is called.
Well, things have become too political.
Well, they yes. Well, but they are political by definition. So where do you go with that?
Well, yeah, I know, but there's a lot of things that aren't. I mean, almost everything. Years ago, she said, you know, don't talk politics. Talk about the weather. We can't even talk about the weather anymore.
No, you can't.
Getting political.
It is completely political. it's scientists against whatever. I know.
Yeah, it's just political. I mean, you know, can't you sit there and say it's getting hotter or getting colder and not, you know?
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you really quickly where you stand on social media. We were both around before social media existed. Is this a dagger in the head, or is it something that can be used where we help us come out of this?
No, I think it's kind of an evolutionary type thing. I mean, it has to happen at some point. You get to technology, right. And everybody's connected.
Yeah.
And it seems like everybody connected, it works out much better. I call it kind of collective wisdom in a sense. But I don't think we're just not used to it yet. I mean, you know, maybe eventually people understand you just can't do this, you can't do that on the social media, you know.
I don't know. I mean, a gathering of bad people is just as bad or good as a gathering of good people. So I guess, you know, it's whatever.
Well, I mean, I hope when they're connected, they learn something from each other. You know,
I hope so. Unless you have people running that entire faction who are capitalistic and are just out for the profit too. I mean, that's it's all there in the book, Killing History: The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. He's L.K. Samuels. You can Google him and find out all his writings and some of these ideas that make you think a little bit more. And that's what's healthy, is to exercise the brain and think and understand what's going on. L.K. Samuels, thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you to my guest, L.K. Samuels. Thank you to you for your bold clicking habits. Have yourselves a wonderful time. I'll be back the next time a weekday rolls around, which is very, very soon. Until then, you got it. I wish you peace and good luck. Big finish here.